And we're talking basketball on the Hoop Ball Sacramento Kings podcast. I'm Sam Comenti, alongside, as always, the incomparable, the all-knowing Jill Adge. Jill, the Kings are undefeated, 3-0, the best team in the West. I don't actually know if that's true. I'm just going to assume that they're tied for someone with someone on top of the West right now. Preseason is making us feel so good. And we're going to go ahead in this Wednesday edition, review that Blazers game, look ahead to the final preseason game. Finally, we can get through the silliness onto what really matters, the regular season. We're going to review the Blazers game, talk a little bit about that, have a little jersey debate. And at some point in the podcast, we're going to do second edition of Jill's Water Cooler, one of my favorites, if not my favorite. But we'll start with the Blazers game. Jill, the Kings again held an opponent to under 100 points. And I know you don't overthink anything that's happening in preseason. Neither should I. And I say should because I kind of naturally am progressing towards overthinking a lot of what's happening in preseason. But that's good, right? I mean, two games in a row now, the opponent hasn't scored over 100. I don't care if it's their bench players. A lot of our bench players are playing. Their defense is flying around the ball. They're limiting mistakes. They look like a team right now, again, in middle of October, before the season starts. They look like a team that cares to play defense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it's nice to see. And I just want to see them keep doing it.
Yep, that's the theme. Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Just keep doing it. We always say you have to start somewhere. Just keep doing it. And I know everyone wants to have the it's only preseason, you know, like debate of like whether you should even talk about it or not.
We kind of have to.
But at this point, like, yeah, I mean, we have to. But like if you can use these as building blocks and keep it going, then great. And if you don't, then, you know, that that's where it becomes an issue. And we'll keep talking about that as it goes. But at this point, we like what we're seeing. We just want to keep seeing more of it.
Right. And Kings Twitter, Kings Media, as I always like to just give a shout out to all the guys that we follow, some of whom will be joining us on Friday. But, you know, they're all excited too, which is it's cool to see that. It's cool to see the Kings fans and people that cover them and write about them all kind of rallied around them right now, because it's not something we've had much of in a long time. And so, yeah, don't care if it's preseason. I'm going to enjoy it while we have it. The Kings did beat Portland, who will be their first opponent next Wednesday, a week from today, in Portland again. They won 107-93. No Buddy Hield, no Tyrese Haliburton, no Rashawn Holmes. Rashawn Holmes did play. Now I'm drawing a blank on who actually played. I know Buddy and Tyrese didn't play. Davion got the start.
And no Bagley.
No Bagley, thank you.
Thompson. Holmes did play, yes.
Okay, I got them mixed. Bagley with the, quote, soreness or whatever it is that makes us all skeptical. But Davion Mitchell is the story of that game for sure. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, hit 6 threes. Obviously played incredible defense. Dude's just a baller, and we're going to talk about him every podcast. I can already see that happening just because he always entertains. And he did not disappoint in his first career start, whether it counts or not. We're going to ignore that. And so, Jill, I mean, Davion aside, was there a depth player? Because this game was mostly about the depth players, about the guys that either are going to be the 14th, 15th guys on the rosters or in G League, or the guys that were even cut, because we've had a couple guys cut.
Yeah. I didn't even want to necessarily even just limit it to one, but because we had so many players sit out, we had quite a few guys get more minutes.
Yeah.
And I will just say the four of Mitchell, Terrence Davis, Ramsey, and King. I enjoyed seeing both ends of the court of play from the four of those guys. And then I felt, I mean, minus, you know, Terrence Davis, because he didn't play in summer league, but Mitchell, Ramsey, and King, to me, all still showed their good chemistry that we've seen, you know, from summer league. And then I thought Mitchell did a really good job stepping into the starting lineup. So that was nice to see, you know, getting his toes wet. And again, it was against a, you know, Blazers team that sat out, I don't know, like eight players or something like that.
The team.
But what I'll keep saying is the Kings are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I know that's a small thing to say, but we continue to say every year they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So when they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, unfortunately, we have to call it out. So again, I enjoyed what the four of them showed on both sides of the court. It wasn't just offense. It wasn't just defense. It was showing it on both sides. And so I want to, again, want to keep seeing more of the both sides of play. And Absolutely. It was nice seeing it from the young guys.
Yeah. And we won't cover too much into this game because everything was more about, just seeing what the young guys had, who would fit the bottom of the roster. Same thing for the Blazers, which we touched on in the previous episode. Yeah, the lineups look good. Some of them did. The guys that have played in Summer League together for sure had that chemistry, like you pointed
and
out.
And I think that helps, right? Those guys have some familiarity with each other. Because the thing about Summer League too, about preseason as well, as it's hard to get a feel for anything. It's because you are seeing a lot of lineups and lineups that you will never see in the regular season. And we've had years where we've, didn't win a game. And I think it might've been Jaeger's last year, if I'm not mistaken, like he was throwing out all big man lineups, And then then they went on that run. Right. And obviously you never saw any of the weird lineups, but it's like, you're going to see things that you never see, and both teams are doing it. And so when you do find some guys with chemistry, it makes the preseason look a little bit better. So keep going in that direction. And I don't believe the Lakers are never going to win a game. Sorry. Like, I know we'd all like to think that, but
damn it.
But if you go by their preseason and it's not pretty yet.
Yeah.
But that kind of usually happens with Westbrook. Every time he joins a new team, like his preseason usually looks horrible. Then by the end of the year, he's looking like the crazy statistician that we know he is. And so, I'll be shocked if that stuff doesn't figure itself out. So again, when it comes to preseason, it's, you take everything with a grain of salt, but it's nice when you do find some guys that have chemistry with each other, because maybe, crazy things happen during the season. You get injuries and everything else, and you're going to need that kind of stuff. You just never know.
And so, it'll help the Stockton Kings too, if those guys play together down there, which they seem to be going that direction. Real quick, backtracking to what you said, just because this is too funny to pass up. Tell me if you disagree. The reason Dave Jaeger rolled out those all big man lineups was as a middle finger and a statement to Vlade Divac. I have way too many effing big men, dude. Like, what the hell do you want me to do?
There were a lot of people that felt that.
Yeah, I definitely feel like he was like, what do you want me to do with this? You want five centers? What is it, 1950? When centers were like 6'2".
Very much so. And I still think an interesting development is that we've talked about this multiple times, since we've started this, based on the three games, is that we keep seeing King get the playing time and Woodard not. So we said, keep an eye on that, and that will be interesting, because at this point it seems like if you're more comfortable putting King in, like we've mentioned, you would want him to have the roster spot with the option to send him back while still keeping him up and not have that game limit, where you would then have Woodard, on the two way, where you can, it's a little bit more limited.
We'll contract is
guaranteed. So you just never know, but it's a small guarantee, but still a lot of other teams are making cuts and things. So just,
you're a Freddie Gillespie fan. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Well, dude, rebounds, man. Like,
yeah,
for Toronto a team Raptors that forward, has been bad at rebounding, like, he was huge for them when he came in. And he was another guy like King, where he showed out in that gobble, last year, and got his opportunity, which was great to see. And it came down to it where their last roster spot is between like six guys. And so it was, and depending on if you showed out, that game, like Decker did. And so it was funny because one of the reporters tweeted out, Decker has to go Curry mode. Yeah, otherwise he's getting cut. And literally right after, he scored like 18 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Hit like seven threes.
Or six or seven for threes. And then he gets another shot. So it's between like him and two other guys now. Yep. One of the other guys they brought over from Europe. But again, so you know what I mean? Like these roster spots are, you know, they're prep, like it's exactly. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. And they very well might do nothing. So we'll, we shall find out.
My but buddy is
something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. My buddy's a big Raptor fan. He grew up in Toronto and we've been talking about the season. I'm asking him how he feels about the team. And he goes, listen, man, I don't know, but Masai is apparently of the mindset that you can win every game with six small forwards and that like, or five small forwards on the court, your first sub's a small forward. Like they have so many forwards.
I know they could like throw some over here.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was getting to. Like we're always the team that has too many centers. And now you have the Raptors with like every small forward you could possibly want.
And they could, they could use like another center. Yeah.
So they could definitely use another center.
But yeah. So it'll be something to see there. There's quite a few teams where I was looking too. Memphis was another one that they have a lot of guards. Like I was surprised with how many guards they had that they're kind of a little lopsided. I think it was like the Pelicans only have like one based on how they list, you know, the
their players.
They only had like one true center. And it was
Valanciunas.
Yes. Val. And so it's there's and then you have the Wizards who are in the same, like they have like five or six small forwards. So there's quite a few teams that are it's like that they could swap pieces together and really help each other balance the roster out. So So to me, like I would be keeping an eye on any of those teams where during the season, you never know, you know, depending on how people start and things like that, you could see some moves made. But yeah, it was interesting, you know, looking at the cuts of teams and then how they were made up. I didn't realize that there were so many that were so lopsided where we just look at us and we're like, oh my gosh, like that they're somehow that of like that. Exactly. So just know that we're not the only ones.
Yeah, we're not alone, guys. And just to finish that about the Blazer game, Terrence Davis, of course, you already said his name. He looked great. He's going to be such a volume scorer, athletic guy who can also play defense coming off the bench. He had 17 points. I just really enjoy watching him. He's just a fun player to me. Even when he's not making shots, he's doing something to contribute. And that's like a McNair quality, it seems. I don't care that you're not necessarily always going to be able to make that three or get to the rim, which is obviously something he wants out of his guy, especially threes, but he stays active. He, you know, he's always doing something and that's valuable. You have a spot on the court, in my opinion, if you stay active. And then Chimezie Metu got a little bit longer of a run. He looks slimmer to me, Jill. I don't know about you. He just seems like he really like embraced the fact that, yeah, I'm a power forward that can maybe even play a little three because I can shoot, but he's like a clean cut looking slim down four, blocking shots, stretching the floor. So I'm excited about Metu and some minutes that he might get in the season. But another good win for the Kings. They're 3-0. Last game coming up on Thursday tomorrow against the Lakers, the 0-5 Lakers. That's something that we won't be saying anytime soon. So I'll say it now. And we'll touch on that, I'm sure, on Friday with our guest. Now, Jill, to the important topic. To the one we teased at the end of last episode and just didn't have time to get into. The jerseys, these throwback concepts that is, again, circulating around the NBA as a new idea, because every team has like a city edition alternative uniform, but now the NBA is thinking we want to use that concept, but go a little bit like, I don't even know if you want to say deeper or go farther back and just be like, let's get the legit throwbacks, like the retro uniforms that every team has. Call that like the city alternate where that's what they wear on that day. Because right now the Kings, what is the Kings current city edition uniform? I don't even know. They change every year. It seems
they haven't announced it yet, but
okay. But from last year, it was the Sactown one.
It was Sactown. It was black and had the checkered.
Yeah. So,
but, people are expecting, something pretty good this year that I think,
cause they're playing like 25 games in it.
There's like 7 more games this year than previous. So yes.
Yeah, I hope it's good then if I have to see it more.
Yeah.
But the question that we were asking one another is if we were to choose one retro Kings jersey or two, actually, we'll say two for this case, just because it's hard to choose. Kings have had so many jerseys in their time. If you were to choose two jerseys, retros, to bring back and put them on our current Kings squad, what would they be? So I think we've decided this, or I hope you've made your decision, Jill. and I'm giving the floor to you. I want to hear what you're saying. Plead your case
for what jerseys. The jerseys I chose, it's actually the 94 to 2002. That's the span that they were used, and they have a little sentimental value to me just because the first jersey I ever saved up for was the Bobby Hurley, black away jersey of that. And, I also, you know, it has again, the sentimental, just because that's their glory year. So when you see it, I think it helps, you know, like
you think of that great team,
you know,
great
you see your court. Best times, but they are just really good jerseys too. You had the white, the black, and then the checkered, like the half purple, half black checkered down the side.
You're a fan of the checkered,
and
huh?
And our best players wore them. Like, I don't know. They just looked good. and I still have my old Peja one of that as well. And it's one that they haven't really like brought back, so I think it would be cool to see them. They've kind of like tried to bring the checker thing back before, but I think it would be cool to see the old school the black one back.
Black one's popular.
So for me, that's the one I would hope they choose, just because we've seen the Royal and we've seen them bring back the red and the Royal and all that. I would love just the old school of the purple and the purple, black and white.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same thing, and I'm looking at the history of all the Kings jerseys with photos just to make sure I don't mix them up. So yeah, the 94, the 2002 one, the glory year one, they kind of adapted that in their last couple years once they got, you know, they knew they were staying in Sacramento. Vivek took over, as you remember. They like did a spinoff, like a ripoff.
It was
the same font.
The font.
Yeah, the font was the same. The jersey didn't feel the same to me. It felt the same, but it didn't look the same, if that makes any sense whatsoever. They didn't have the black.
Yeah, and that wasn't the black. Yeah.
Which is like the most popular one. So it made no sense. Like, why don't you have that one? So that was for sure mine, the 94 to 2002 black of that Kings jersey. Like you said, that needs to come back. That was so clean. They had some of their best games in that uniform. I don't think any Kings fan will question that. And then a follow-up, just because you're talking about what you remember watching, you know, them playing. For me, I remember the jerseys that came after, which were...
The 2002, 2008.
Exactly. Yeah. And specifically, just because I have so many distinct memories of Mike Bibby wearing that jersey with the purple headband, is the Sacramento purple, just Sacramento in white across the front, big letters. It's like so simple and almost kind of clunky, because it's like that's Sacramento's a big word to put just all across the front. But it looks good, in my opinion, and it has good memories in it as well. Like you were saying. I would love to see that one brought back, that purple one, just the purple one. The white one, now I wasn't a huge fan of that concept, especially the font. And then we won't even get going down the gold of that era. We won't even
Sorry, Will.
Yeah, exactly. we'll bring Will on and we'll have a whole episode about that. Real quick though, while on the topic, I think everyone can agree, you and I can agree, the 2008 to 2014 ugliest.
Yeah, and just not great
black.
I don't think for people. That's like some of the worst. That was during the whole relocation stuff. Like, and I think people just want that out of their
the black lettering on purple. Minds. Whose idea was that? Who was that stupid to put black on purple? We couldn't even see what it said.
Which got paid a lot of money.
Which, as I say that, the Kings now currently have that SAC alternate jersey that has black on purple, but that one looks better to me.
Well, you know where they got that idea is because in the 2002, 2008, they had a white version of it, and it was white with the purple writing and same lettering. And if you go to 2008, 2014, that purple and black one, it's just they replaced the white. The white and purple with purple and black writing. So it's literally and added a stripe thing down the side of it. But it's the same font, and then it has the Kings with the eye with the crown on it. It's literally the same. It's just they went away from the white and made it purple and black. But yeah, that's one thing too, where with the black writing over purple, it's hard to
squint a little.
It's hard to read. That wouldn't pass accessibility testing at this point.
No, it wouldn't. The reviews would not be good enough. The
laws of accessibility, it would not pass that. Yeah. It would fail the color test. But I think that's just where they went, was they no offense, well, maybe taken where it was, they didn't, maybe didn't have to pay a lot of money. Like it was, hey, keep the same fonts and we'll just change the colors around and add that stripe down the side. Cause even the Sacramento, looking at it, the Sacramento is the same writing. They just the changed the color. So again, outline. They literally just swapped the colors.
Yeah, they swapped it. That's exactly what they did. Yeah.
So I, but
and it looked worse.
During that time though, they were trying to save any kind of money they could. So not totally shocking. And I would think that the most people would choose the 94 to 92 and the 2002 to 2008.
We're going to ask when we post this.
Let us know what you guys think, because I'd be interested if anyone thinks outside of that at this point.
Did you mention because I think we're on the same site, the black script alternate that they wore during those years of horribleness? Did you mention that one? Kings and cursive in white.
2014?
It's like if you scroll down all the way, if we're on the same site, it's this one. Awkward pause because of course no one can see us, but you definitely will recognize it. Any Kings fan will recognize when they see it. DeMarcus looked great in it. IT, Isaiah Thomas, I have good memories of him balling out. Is that in this
14 to 16 maybe? No.
I don't know what years this were. It was
I don't know. Yeah. I'm on some Jersey Museum maybe site on, and it's think, giving I, me them by like the decade.
Yeah, no, we're on the same site. You'll scroll all the way to the bottom, like pretty much all the way to the bottom. You'll see
the special one. Editions. Okay. Special see, edition. I didn't see the special editions.
Yeah.
Oh the yeah. Second see, one, there's the black and purple alternate. Like, see, that's what I think people will like. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the black script one, Tyreek played great games in that jersey.
Yeah.
But it was again of the era where Kings were really, really bad.
And the purple alternate.
Purple that's alternate was one. Clean. The Peja, they have the Peja jersey here for this purple alternate.
Adam Vail in 97. Yeah. I actually have that one of Peja. Yep.
That's clean.
I wore it to his jersey retirement
ceremony. Thing. Yeah.
Still had it.
I love it.
Still had it.
There's a rich history for the Kings in terms of their jerseys. So we have that at least at the very, you cannot take that away from us. Cool. So yeah, Jill's going with the 94 to 2002, the era of Kings basketball in general, that was the happiest for us. And then jerseys. I think, do you think it's because they were so good that the jerseys look better in our minds? Do you think it's just like something innate in us?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's getting philosophical, but I feel like if you ask people outside, you know, that aren't Kings fans, what they thought of those jerseys, and they might just look and be like, I mean, yeah, whatever. Like they're 90s jerseys, whatever. They wouldn't have that nostalgic feeling towards it. That's clearly what's happening with us.
Yeah.
Something to just dig a little deeper in this.
Right. I think like anything, it's if you have some sort of memory or something attached to it, like it makes it that much more
true.
Special or rose colored or whatever, like, you know, the rose colored glasses type thing.
Will must have really good memories with these gold jerseys. I just remember Ron Artest wearing it and just looking like, I think it was like too big on him. I don't know. I have a weird memory with those jerseys. But okay, there we go. Those are our jersey decisions again. Please, guys, I'll put it. Make sure it's in the caption when we post this online. Is to tell us what you think of them, because this is definitely a good debate amongst Kings fans as to, hey, what do you think? What do you want to see back? More importantly, what would you want to see De'Aaron balling out? And could definitely see him in those black 2002 Kings jerseys. All right, moving on. Game time now, Jill. It's game time. It's Jill's Water Cooler 2.0, second edition. You're going to dump some cool facts on us. I should probably stop saying it like that. It sounds weird when I say it like that.
So we'll just be like, it's the, did you know?
Yeah. Right? Sorry. Like I'm like cringing the way it's
You're weird. Fine.
Jill's going to enlighten us with some cool stuff here. So go ahead, Jill.
So something I use a lot is Twitter, which I think a lot of other people use on here. They're listening to this, but one thing I did not know is, did you know that their Twitter logo is named Larry the Bird and it's actually after Larry Bird? Did you know that?
I did not know that. Whose is this?
So the Twitter logo, the bird.
Oh, right? his literal Twitter logo.
So the Twitter logo, which is the little bird, right? His name is Larry the Bird. Larry the Bird after Larry Bird. So
got it.
It came, the co-founder, Biz Stone, tweeted out that it's called Larry the Bird as a tribute to NBA player Larry Bird, who played for the Celtics, and that was Stone's home state team. So he's from Massachusetts, and that is how the bird came about. And Larry Bird, yeah, I had no idea that bird had a name, let alone
was based off
behind
of
it that was the, attached yeah. Attached to basketball. So did you know that? Yeah, that's Larry the Bird after Larry Bird. And then the other one that I thought was interesting, that at one point in history, the shortest and tallest player in NBA history, like totally, once played on the actual, like on the same team, same year, like everything.
Muggsy Bogues
at 5'3" and Manute Bol at 7'7". So wow. There were times where you're in a lineup on the court and you have a 7'7" and a 5'3" going against each other. But like, how random is that? That in history, the tallest and shortest player actually played together on the same team at the same time.
I would love to see a photo. I'm sure there's a photo of them near standing next to one another on the court. That would be hysterical.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It very much reminds me of the poor CJ, the CJ McCollum Costa Cufas high school photo.
Yeah. I know what you're
where
talking
he's
about.
Like bent down and really small before he had his growth spurt. But the picture will remind you of that, where he's just really tiny. Or and then Manute Bol is just extremely tall.
Oh yeah. And skinny too, like his son.
Yep.
I was going to, sorry, drew a blank. The Alabama players too, Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry, that photo, have you seen that in the like title game or where they're both out in the middle of the field?
Where they're like,
and Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry looks like he's about to murder Mark Ingram. That's also, I'm sure, what it looks like, because that photo is iconic. Derrick Henry's a big motherfucker. Jeez.
He's a beast.
He's an absolute beast. Good luck tackling him ever. All right, Jill, is there anything else?
That's it for now. We're saving him for us to go. But yeah, so those were your two did you knows.
So we're also going to change the name. Is that what we're doing? Jill's did you knows something? Jill's war. We'll talk about that. We'll adapt.
Work on it.
We adapt and roll with it. That's what we do here on this Hoopball Kings podcast. Okay, getting to close here. We're going to save a lot of our energy for the Fun Friday show that we have in store. We'll tell you now. I don't think we've done the whole list yet, but we have Sac Republic's MC Media Man, a good buddy of mine, Connor Sutton, coming on the show. And then a good pal of mine and the host of the Sean and Bond podcast on the Be Heard podcast platform, Sean Holko, is also going to be joining us. Those are my quote unquote guests. Jill, go ahead and tell us
who
you're
going to
be bringing.
We have John Bull and Christina Werner as well.
Christina Werner, the best meteorologist in Sacramento.
Yep. And then, and then John. Yeah.
And John.
You guys will be familiar with on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
So we're going to have like a little fan round table and get everybody's feeling before the season starts. So it'll be fun.
Definitely tune in for that. But before we get to that, before we close out this episode, two things I want to get to here, Jill. Predictions for the final preseason game. A little silly, I understand, but this game is actually, of any game, the one that's probably worth watching, because you're going to see the starters. You're going to see a little bit of a rotation of what will be normal. And it's the dress rehearsal game. It is. And you can also watch it. Actually, all of us most likely can watch this game. We don't need to have the Xfinity cheat code. We can just watch it on DirecTV or wherever on NBC Sports. So Jill, do you have any predictions or just like anything you want to see or think will happen against the Lakers, who are, again, 0-5. I just love saying that the Lakers are winless. They're winless.
Like, let's not jinx ourselves. We'll give them the one win.
That's true.
I just want to see them keep just keep playing their game, regardless of who they're playing. Just keep playing your game. Do what you're supposed to do. I'm excited to see it against a little bit more talent. And because it'll either be a wake up call for these guys, right? Or that'll have them continuing to feel pretty good. So, either way, yeah. Starting lineups, I don't know if he's going to change it or not, but I would assume it's what we saw the first game going in, but you never know.
Yeah. So Tyrese going into the season as a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the hope, I think, amongst most Kings fans. And that buddy just adapts to his role off the bench, which he looked good in that role in that first game. So, yeah, I would definitely think if Walton rolls out that lineup, that pretty much sets it, you would think. But yeah, no, definitely worth watching. Any Kings Laker game worth watching. So that'll wrap up the preseason. Then they'll have, obviously, get back to practice. And I guess, is training camp over technically?
No. No, okay. It's like after their last preseason.
Yeah, like Friday.
Yeah. Okay. And then they have to start making all their last cuts, right? Which is why you're seeing them now. But everyone gets a opportunity to have all those guys play in the last preseason game and then start making the cuts. So I would think it's by this weekend. Let me see. Because I think the last preseason game
for the NBA is probably Friday or Saturday.
It's Friday. And so, so Friday is the last preseason game. Tuesday's the first is opening night. So, I mean, I would assume it'd be Saturday sent, like those cuts would be made deadline. Then. And then you have, the Monday, right, for teams going into it, to practice before that Tuesday. So
a lot of stuff, a lot of exciting stuff coming quickly at us. Just get to Monday and start that week. And we got basketball, baby. We got a lot of basketball to watch. And it's going to be a fun season. Definitely going to be a fun season. And it's going to feel normal. I'm going to have fans back in the stands. 82 games. A lot of good, young, talented players. Can't wait. And then in conclusion, to wrap it all up tonight or today. I don't know what time it is anymore. Giants-Dodgers, game 5. I know it's isn't Kings related, Jill.
I'm not making any predictions. So I'm not jinxing anything.
Not jinxing anything? Okay.
You all know how I feel, but yeah, I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want anyone to say anything.
It's fair. I'm just not even going to, I don't even want to think about it. I'm going to throw up when the game starts tomorrow. It's just going to be so much stress. That's what I did not miss about playoff baseball. It's been obviously 5 years since the Giants have been.
It was always torture, torture.
Giants baseball torture. Yeah. It's not fun. But go Giants, please just do the NorCal kids a favor. Give us some more fun as we head into the basketball season now. All right, well, that's it for us today on the Hoop Ball Sacramento Kings podcast. Please, please, guys, let us know your jersey favorites, what you want to see, and definitely tune in on Friday afternoon when this is a podcast, next podcast is uploaded, to hear a lot of great insight on the Kings from people that are not Jill and I, a lot of good other brains in the Kings media. All right, y'all, you have a great night.
Thanks.